Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Loud Outdoors. On the mic with you, coming to you from the living room. Man, this is fresh. This is hot off the press. I've been sitting here studying on some things and actually doing some research, trying to figure out. Hey, we talked about doing a cookbook and different things, different times. I'm trying to figure out how to start that, how to put it together. So that's in the works. That's coming. But I was watching TBN, which we spend a lot of time watching TBN, it seems these days, and different preachers, different things. And I've written two different messages already this morning. And I happened on to a message that was being done. It was just kind of out of sight, out of mind. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. But it was Sheila Walsh. She's an author, a speaker. She's hosts a show on TBN. And I usually don't listen to them. It's just a group of ladies, you know, and I tend to usually flip the channel to something else. But for whatever reason, this was just kind of running in the background, and it caught me of what she was talking about. So what I titled this, I don't really know what her message was titled today, but what caught me was transformed by the cross. Have you ever thought what that really means, to be transformed by the cross? When we accept Jesus, he tells us we're to pick up our cross daily and follow him. That picking up our cross is a representation of giving up our way of life, giving up our life, being crucified with him. So in the process of us picking up our cross, we become transformed by the cross of Christ. And what she was talking about was humility. And this story that she was telling today, it struck me, and I thought, man, I've got to share this. She was talking about coming to the States to do a big meeting, a big presentation, and she came to a hotel that she uses quite frequently. It's a place where she often stays, so they know her. She knows the staff, they know her. And the man behind the counter told her, hey, by the way, there's been a policy change, and we have to work out with your credit card in a little bit different way. And she told him, no, that's not correct. And he said, well, it is. There's been a policy change, and this is how we have to do it. And she, in her own kind of way, told him, no, I think you're still wrong, but I'll take it up with somebody above you. And she went ahead and went to her room. Well, when she got to her room and began looking things over, she realized that there had, in fact, been a policy change in the hierarchy of the establishment, and that man was just simply doing his job, and he was in fact right. Well, it really got to her. It messed her up, because she had pretty well prominently told him, no, he's wrong. So it humbled her in such a way that she thought, this must be what it really means to have true humility. So she went back downstairs and she went up to that man and she told him, she said, you know what? I was wrong. You were right. I understand now there is certainly a policy change, and you were just doing your job, and I want to apologize to you because you're correct. You were right. And he accepted her apology, and she turned to leave, and as she's walking away, she heard the man say to a coworker, wow, that doesn't happen very often. And that really hit me. It's like, you know what? It's true. Because we don't, in today's day and age anyway, we as a society don't take on the responsibilities of being wrong much. We fail to show true transformation of the cross in our life by not owning up to our being wrong when we are wrong and taking on that responsibility. Well, then she tells another story of an art rendering of a painting that these people had commissioned to be painted. Now, it was a specific thing that they had asked to be done. And when a colleague came along who was in the world of art and someone who knew art very well, when he looked at the painting, he expressed to them that the painting was all wrong. The painting was of Mary holding baby Jesus, and she was holding the baby, but in his perspective, it was all wrong. The angles were wrong. The shadows were wrong. The shading was wrong. And he began pointing out all these flaws in this painting. Well, the people it kind of bothered them a little bit. They were like, well, we really have a lot of respect for the artist who did this rendering for us. And we asked him, we commissioned him to paint it just like this. Well, he stopped for a moment and he thought, and he asked, where did you have this planned to be hung? Where was it commissioned to be placed? Where was the artwork going to be hung on display? And they said, well, it was for the chapel, for the prayer chapel. At that, this professional art guy immediately dropped to his knees, and he began looking at the painting from on his knees. And he realized that the painting was actually perfect, that the positioning and the angles were exact, the shadows were right where they should be. And he began to apologize to these people who had this artwork commissioned. And what he said was, "I was wrong because I wasn't viewing this from the right angle. When I change angles, I see it correctly, and it's perfect." Wow. What a profound thought. Humility is the honest recognition of our own worth. Our worth as God sees us. See, it's only God that can see our true value. We oftentimes will overshoot or way undershoot our value. It's the delicate balance between humbly recognizing our sin, yet knowing how much God loves and He values us. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4, the reward of humility, that is having a realistic view of one's importance and the relevant, worshipful fear of the Lord, is riches, honor, and life. Pride puts us in a place where we cut ourselves off from God's grace, but humility puts us in a position of needing God and receiving grace from Him. John chapter 4, verse 6 through 10 says, "But He gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore," it says, "God is opposed to the proud and to the haughty, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness." So submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Come close to God with a contrite heart, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. Be miserable and grieve and weep over your sin. Let your foolish laughter be turned to mourning and your reckless joy to gloom. Humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up, and he will give you purpose. Today, may we stop and think about the angle that we're viewing things from. That when we consider how we should be viewing something and we humble ourselves to see it from the position that God intended it to begin with, we find ourselves within this His grace and His mercy, and we exhibit His nature towards others. I was on the phone just after I put all this together, speaking to a friend who called to check on me. We talked about our back troubles. He's got some, I've got some. He struggles through his own deals. In my conversation with him, something popped out of my mouth that hit me very hard. I was whining about my back and my struggle about what to do. I find myself getting bogged down in that lately. And I stated, and what I stated, the one thing that I know for certain, what's wrong with my back doesn't affect my mouth. It's my mouth that God is using and can and will continue to use when I humble myself and I confess what I know of Him. He'll take care of me as I walk in humble obedience to Him, and He'll take care of you as well. No matter what you've got going on in your life, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, when we take responsibility for our life, our actions, when we come to an understanding that maybe we need to change the angle in which we're looking at something, maybe all this back struggle that I'm dealing with and I'm worried about, well, what am I going to be able to do? I can't do my job. I can't do what I'm used to doing. Maybe I need to look at this from a little bit different angle. Maybe I need to look at it from the perspective that God wants me to see it from. And when I do so, then He'll open the doors that I need to be opened to provide for me whatever I need provided. God has a way of doing just that. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Thank you for your following along on our podcast, your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much for your financial support as well. God's doing some incredible things during this time. All we've got to do is pay attention. All we've got to do is position ourselves to see from the angle He wants us to see from. I appreciate my buddy Sean for kind of shaking me today. I mean, that's a God thing when God puts somebody in your path and they call you out of the blue and just to encourage you and just to check in on you. And I needed that today, and I appreciate that. And I'm so thankful that God puts people around us when we fall ourselves in a place of obedience to Him, when we humble ourselves in obedience to Him, it moves mountains around us. Today, God, I ask You to move the mountains that are in front of each one of us, whatever it is, from whatever angle we're seeing it. God, change our perspective so that we see it from the angle You want us to. Amen. God bless you guys. Rhonda and I love you. We thank you so much for all of your support, all your prayers. We'll talk to you again real soon.